Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you that we can come together in your name. Thank you that as we come together and your presence is with us, Lord, we just acknowledge all your blessings and acknowledge the truth that is in your word, that brings us freedom, that brings us victory, that gives us direction and understanding on the things we need to know. We just open our heart to you, Lord, to work in us, to enable us to receive everything you have done, and therefore give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be, if you want, more or less in the same direction that we've been talking about, but opening up a new section. Okay, I'm going to be talking about Jesus' final teaching. And this is, you know, contained in Gospel of John mostly, in the chapter 13 to 17. I'm not going to cover everything because it's a lot of stuff there, but we are going to look specifically, okay, some areas that can be very helpful for us to understand the way God, you know, think, the way actually that Jesus thought, the way he functions. And so it's going to help us to know how to imitate him, how to follow his example. Okay. First of all, I'm going to, and it's everything I'm going to do, you know, about life. Okay. And this goes actually back to the very beginning, to the Garden of Eden. And we have to see some things there because they're really also connected with what Jesus came for. Okay. And it's really in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, says, And out of the ground, the Lord God made spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So this is, what God did there, okay, for, and including that, is the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded them men to say, you shall surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Okay, this was really the situation that, we should understand. And God had established some rules functioning there. Now, you know what, from the practical point of view, okay, evidently there was a spiritual impact of taking from the tree of life. Okay. And that was not just a physical tree. I don't know how you want to interpret it and how you want to turn it around, but that doesn't matter. The fact that it was something that had to do was something spiritual. It was associated with this aspect of the tree of life, from which, you know, like any other tree or any other source of nourishment or eating, you know, they could take from, okay? But not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So if you want, you know, that has an implication in terms of their experience, the way they interacted. Really, you know, what you can see from some of the verses afterwards, you know, that the tree of life was a spiritual tree, which could be, they could eat from, and they was therefore, you know, important for them to live from. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they could not eat from it. They understand that. And we can see in chapter 3, verse 22 says, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil, lest he reach out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, at that time, something had changed. When Adam fell, and Eve fell, okay, there was something that they broke according to the principle God had told them. They ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so, because of that, they could not anymore eat from the tree of life. Okay, the tree of life, okay, was removed from them. Okay, in the following verse, expand a bit more. Therefore, the Lord sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Okay, so the fact is, there was a change there. Before, they didn't need to work. They had life inside. The life was, providing everything that they needed. But at the moment, you see, before everything was easy. Everything was at their disposal. They had control over things without working for it. Now, without working for it, that means they didn't need to sweat for it. It wasn't out of the working or the, sweat of their brows. Things were easy. And life was easy. And everything was provided without working, without effort. But the very moment when they started going in their own way, the problem began, and they didn't have any more that ability to function according to that life that was inside them before, enabling them to get things easily. They had to start actually working on them. Okay. And so it says there, let me continue because there are some implications here. And he drove them out, the man, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword to turn away every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So there was no access anymore to that reality, that life that was working within them. Okay. That was a big change. Okay. So from when the tree of life was forgiven to them, okay, there was not anymore available the light in them. Essentially, what God said, if you would eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you certainly will die. The death there was the spiritual life that was inside there wasn't there anymore. It was that connection with the life that they had before was cut off. And that life was the life of God, the Zoe, the life that God has that enables us to do everything. That was cut off, and people started to have to do things out of their own effort. Before it was the power of God working in them, they was achieving the purposes and producing the results. Now, that is, if you want, maybe a spiritual representation or a physical representation. The thing is, you have to remember, in the Old Testament, things were all represented physically. And so this is really the way it's described here. But really, there was a spiritual component to it. And the spiritual component was the position in their heart and what they could actually experience and do. That was changed. And from that moment on, the access to the tree of life was cut off. There was no anymore the life in them until something had to change in them to bring life again. Okay. And so this is what Jesus came to reestablish the life available for us, to make us able to connect again with the tree of life that was cut off from Adam and his descendant. This was the major thing that actually took place. Because it was that life that was makes all the difference. And maybe it was that life was the connection. That was the life of God that was, you know, they were able to receive for themselves, the devil operating in them and energizing, giving the ability to do things that were not just physical, the way he had to do it later on. After they lost that life, they had to work on their own life. They had to work on their own strength. Okay. And that's what made all the difference. And, you know, for thousands of years, that was the way men operated. No matter how much they were trying to get closer to God, they didn't have access to that life. Now, that changed when Jesus came, because he said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So he just brought it back. Even when Jesus was alive, before he went to the cross, the life was not available. So everything that took place, even during Jesus' life on earth, before he was crucified, nobody had the life of God inside them. Even his disciples. His disciples went, weren't born again. They became born again only after when Jesus was resurrected. Okay, so all the part that you read in the gospel before, they were all still operating in the Old Testament covenant. Only after Jesus came back and was resurrected that the new covenant was established. And the rules according to which they started to operate were different. Okay. But even then, they had to learn to function the way, the way to function with receiving the light, because we have still the choice to choose which life we operate on, the way we function. So we had to understand, and we had to see, we had to learn from Jesus and his explanation. And his, you see, Jesus was the only one that actually had that life at that time. Okay, he had that life because he was not a son of Adam. He was the second Adam. So he had the life that is, the life of God within him, and for because of that reason, he was able to do things that nobody else could do. Are you following me? See, he functioned differently from everybody else. And, he was the only one. His disciples were just following what he was telling to do and were functioning out of his own power and his own authority. And really, in some way, we still continue to do that. Okay. But that's what was made all the difference. His coming was not just so that we go to heaven, but so that we can start connecting with God. We have access as born-again believers to the tree of life. Okay. Which changes completely the way we should learn to function and operate, because the way the world functions is not connected to the tree of life, is according to the life that they have. Okay. So we have something that the world doesn't have. This is what talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, 20, 17 and following. You know, that there is this new life. Everything is of God. Our spirit is, the spirit of God is inside us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, all those things there are not available to everybody else. Not people can say, that they're the children of God unless they're born again. Jesus said they actually are the children of Satan. Because, the fact of being children is nothing else than being submitted to some authority. So they are bound. We are in a different position, and we had to understand, we had to learn to function that way, because we haven't learned, the way we grow up and the way we develop is to learn about to function the way everybody does. And when we are born again, then we had to learn to live in a different space, in a different dimension. And we need to know that the tree of life is available to us. And we had to go and eat there. This is something that is so important. In John chapter 15, in verse 1, says, Jesus said, I am the true wine. I am the true vine. Hallelujah. And my Father is the vine dresser. See, it's interesting that he calls himself vine instead of calling himself tree. What is the difference between a vine and a tree? The vine is a plant whose stems require support. A tree has a trunk, doesn't need any support. So he wasn't just depending on his own strength, but he had to be supported. And what was his support? He says, I can't do anything by myself. I only do what I see my Father. You see, he was going to the tree of life to operate according to that. Are you following me? See, that's why we can learn from, that's why I explained what happened before. Because Jesus himself, okay, was functioning, he had to function the way that we should function. And he was showing us what to do and what he came to make available to us so that we can function in the same way. Okay, so he called himself a vine. Because he was, it was a tree. Yes, it was a tree. Okay, but he was called himself a vine, and we supposed to be the branches. So you see, it was a tree where there was needing support to be, functioning properly, and from which we come attached there, and we grow from this vine that is himself connected to the tree of life, is connected to God. So we are all connected together through this life that flows throughout this body that is actually the body of Christ from what, the way the church is called. So we're all connected together through this inner life, which is the life of God, which is the Zoe that may give us special abilities. Okay. See, let's go back a moment. I just went too quickly there. So after they fell, God said, then the Lord God said, behold, man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and he lives forever. Okay, so the idea is that he could not do that. But when we eat of the tree of life, we live forever. We have eternal life in us. And that eternal life is not just a question of living forever, it's just that it's the life of God. It's the ability and the power to do things that are really supernatural. You see, living forever is not natural. It's supernatural. And we are called to start living in the spiritual dimension in which life doesn't die. Essentially, the very moment when we are born again, we make the connection with the tree of life again. We don't know it. We know very little because we have not a clue. We can start seeing the kingdom of God. We can start seeing the way God functions, but we don't have enough experience. And we had to learn. We had to develop the ability to know and function and operate that way. And so, it's clear why we may have some difficulties in grasping what is available to us. We had to learn even to see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, and he was one of the leaders. He couldn't understand the thing. Well, many you know, many even born-again believers don't understand very much about what they got. Because if they would understand, they would start walking in victory right away. And the more we understand, and the more victory we are going to have, and the more, you know, change in the way we approach life, the difficulties that we encounter, the way we overcome the difficulties in our life changes completely. So even just without the tree of life, just connecting to the word, even in the Old Testament, produced enormous impact, enormous result. Psalm 1 said very clearly, okay, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and everything, you know, your leaves also shall not wither. That means, you know, no matter what, you're going to keep going and doing well, and whatever you do shall prosper. So you see, there's going to be a prosperity, it will be a success, it should be an overcoming ability that comes to us just going to the Word. Because why? Because the Word has life in it by itself. So even, you know, the little bit that we can get, okay, just by osmosis, not because it's inside us, but because we are staying in there, you know, just by exposure produces success and achievement and result and victory in our life. But we have more than that. If in the Old Testament we could be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you see, we won't be a tree connected to the vine, okay, but we will be just the tree planted, but, you know, get the benefit from the environment they are in. That's a different situation we have. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have a life inside ourselves. It's not somewhere else. It's not around us. You see, that's what was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you know, the Holy Spirit will come upon people. We have the Holy Spirit inside us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? So it's a completely different experience that we had to come into, and we had to start. How do you come into that? How do you make that become a reality? Just simply believing. You believe with your heart, and you confess with your mouth, and you are going to appropriate the things that you believe in your heart. That's the way our salvation comes. You know, nothing else. You know, we have been saved. Everybody's been saved 2,000 years ago when Jesus was resurrected and overcame Satan and overcame even death. Now, we had to come into that reality. And we cannot do it by ourselves completely, but we, you know, but by believing in him, we get into that reality by degrees according to what our heart and mind can grasp. That's why we had to renew our mind and change our heart. In a way, we grow into that dimension, and the way we are going to express or manifest that reality in our life, okay, that is going to end completely when Jesus comes back the second time, when we are going to get the glorified body. A body that is not limited anymore. I mean, the life is going to be completely there for us. Are you following me? See, a completely there life operating in us, making us live the way Jesus lived. Now, not lived when he was here. See, when lived the way he lived when he was here should be the things that we should start moving on to already. But what God wants to do for us when we are fully delivered, we are fully manifesting our salvation, is that we are going to have a glorified body, and our glorified body is going to be the same way as Jesus is up there now. That's a big promise, isn't it? That's a big thing that we can expect. You know, this is the precious hope that we have. You know, but Jesus had to go through the same process when he was down here. Because he had to go according to the prophets, according to the scripture, according to what the word says, believing that all the things that they were through there was also true, you know, for him. And so he would go through that because he was functioning just like to us. So he had to exercise his faith the way we had to exercise our faith. He went through the same temptations that we are going through, yet without sinning. Are you following me? So he went through what we go through. He can sympathize with us, as we are going to see in a minute. But the thing is that we have to understand, okay, that he needed support to walk and function the way he was walking and functioning, because he wasn't doing according to his own thing, but he was doing everything according to what he saw the Father doing. So the main support was the Father. He was the one that giving life to him inside. Not only he gave, it says, you know, he gave him life and the ability to give life to others. Okay, so that was what was the difference. Okay, he was connected. That's the bottom line. He was always connected with the Father. But he was without sin, and that's why he could do that. And that connection with the Father was just allowing the life to flow through him. And the life that was flowing through him, he could give to others. Now, let me continue here. John 15:2. And every branch, that means, you know, us, okay, in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Let me read it. Stop from the beginning. I am the true wine, okay, and my Father is the wine dresser. I mean the one that takes care of all the branches, okay. Every branch, us, in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that he may, no, sorry, that does bear fruit, you know, he prunes that he may bear more fruit. So the objective and what the Father wants us to do is to bear fruit. I mean, that means to produce result, to obtain result, not to be there, you know, doing nothing or vegetating. We have a purpose here. And the purpose we have is to bear fruit. Okay. So, and so in chapter 3, 15, verse 3 says, already you are clean, he was talking to the disciples who weren't even born again yet, okay? Because of the word that I have spoken to you. Okay, so the word itself cleans you up, give you direction, give you empowerment. See, by the word itself, there is a spirit, and you know, in my word there is spirit and there is life. So the life, you know, they got some of the life already, but wasn't dwelling in them. But they had to dwell in the word. Okay. It says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless he abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So here is something important to say. You know, the question of abiding, this is the same thing as, for example, in the Proverbs chapter, you know, Psalm 1, when it says, you know, that shall meditate on a day and night on the law. Okay, abiding is not something that is a part-time job. Abiding involves a full-time commitment, a full-time job. Okay, see, Jesus said the same thing in John 8:31 and 32. Okay, Jesus said to those who believed in him, you know, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So really, to produce fruit, we need to abide in the vine. We need to stay in there. We need to stay connected, because the very moment when we disconnect ourselves, how do we disconnect yourself? When we are connected with some other things. When we disconnect ourselves and the other things that we are connected and becomes more important than being connected with them. Our attention, our things is directed to other things, then we lose the contact we need, we lose the flow of life inside us, we are not abiding in his word, not abiding in him. Only then we are going to know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Okay, that's the way we are going to produce fruit. In continue on John 5 says, you know, and that's the principle, okay, that Jesus walked by, and that we had to go walk by to abiding in him. Okay. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing by of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So this is the way, you know, dependence, connection, you know, the physical connection of the branches with the vine, you know, that is critical. The vine depends on the Father, you know, Jesus depends on the Father, Jesus, we depend on Jesus. We are all connected together. And we make the tree of life. The life has to flow through all of us. And the more connected we are, and the more that life is going to be operating in us, functioning and producing results, and enabling us to do things that otherwise we had to do in our own life by the effort of our brows. So when you understand that, see, what we are talking about is life is tough when we are on our own strength. But when we receive the strength from God, then life is no longer tough because his life is taking over. And his life is supernatural life that enables us to do supernatural things, the things that Jesus did when he was on earth. Because he was operating not according to natural life, he was operating according to the life of God that was flowing through him because he was doing only what he was so the Father doing. Are you following me? See, this is the secret to walk in the supernatural. We have to be connected because in ourselves, we cannot function supernaturally. You know, the only time when we can get supernatural thing is when the life of God is working inside us because we are connected with him. And that is just simply a choice on what we believe and what we act on believing. Are you still with me? So, you know, and we are going to produce fruit. Hallelujah. Okay. So, going back to John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's evidently we can do lots of things apart from him, but they're just the flesh things and the apart things of the world. We're talking about here to be able to work on the supernatural dimension, producing the work that God can, you know, the fruit that Jesus was talking about. You know, he was talking about fruit, supernatural result, the result that he was doing, the things that he said, the work that I do, you shall do also, and even greater work than this, you shall do because I go to the Father. So he was by himself in a way, just with the support of the Father. Now he's going to be, you know, us with his support and the Father's support. So that the idea is that, you know, abiding is not just something casual, okay, that is going to happen. You know, it doesn't happen just by going to church, you know, once or twice a week. And, you know, abiding in the Word is just something that we have to be in all the time. Okay, what does it really mean? That the word of God is our priority, our center, pervades all our thoughts, our focus, our desires, and our actions. That means abiding in him. That means, you know, when we have got so focused on that, that even when we are doing something else, when we are doing other things, okay, that is just what underneath working in us all the time. So when we are exposed to things that are contrary to the word, we know, we take a position that is separating ourselves, that we don't agree with, that we are not going along with that. And we allow instead what the word of God says, what the life of God produces, functioning and operating in us. So, for example, if Jesus said by Jesus' stripes we are healed, and suddenly we experience some physical problem, instead of allowing, you know, it's not denial, it's just that those things are there. But the point is, what we do is we take a position. Just wait a minute. We choose to believe what the word of God says. We allow the life of God in us working, and the life of God is going to drive out, not because of our effort, not because we are trying to overcome, not simply because of what we believe and what we confess, automatically is going to manifest itself in our life. But if the other things becomes more important, we value more what their senses tell us to what the word of God says, then they're going to take over in our life. And it's not, the life of God is not going to work in us. See, and this is where we have to understand, okay, that we're going to make a difference. Abiding is not a part-time activity. It's a full-time activity. Okay. In John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You see, this is the result. You see, when you ask whatever you wish and it gets done, is because you are abiding in him. At the very moment when you separate yourself from him, what happens is because you are connecting yourself with something else that is not the life of God. Are your senses. And because you are connected with, I mean, we are not talking about the natural thing here. Christianity is not natural. It's supernatural. You want to, it's spiritual, it's the same thing. Is that the spiritual reality is more real than the physical reality. You know, this is how Jesus operated. We have to understand the way he functioned to be able to, otherwise you cannot get the same result. You cannot do greater work than that he did. You cannot, you know, experience what he says here that you should be experiencing. Whatever you ask, whatever you wish, you will be done for you. I mean, from the worldly point of view, that's a pie in the sky. It's completely crazy. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And most of the people don't even preach about it because they don't dare to preach about it. But that's what the word says. I'm not saying that. I'm just reading you the scriptures. And you have the choice to believe that or believe something, or believe what your word, what your physical senses, what your reasoning, what your experience tell you. Now, to be able to do that, to be able to believe that, you have to start believing what God says more than what you feel, more than what you are experiencing, more than what anybody says, more than anything reasonable is in your mind. But if you take that leap of faith into the unknown, the same leap of faith that Jesus had to take, he was functioning like we are. He was God, but he had given up his prerogative of God. He learned by going to the Word. He learned by reading from the Word what was going to happen to him. He knew exactly well what was going to take place in his life. He told his disciples often, very often, they said, "Oh, don't say that, Peter." And Jesus said, "Go behind me, Satan." Are you following me? So, and Jesus was walking in faith till the very end before, he went to be crucified, believing the promises of God that he was going to be kept. That's why he was depending on him all the time until the very end. And the fact that, if he wouldn't have been resurrected, he was fake. It was just somebody that was something wrong with the head. There was no two options there. Either he was completely crazy or he was really the Son of God. And the only way we can believe this is that was the Son of God is because he came back from life after he was dead for after 3 days, as he said he would, as the Word said he would. And he did it completely in faith, believing like you do, like you have to do for each thing that you had to receive from God. So when we talk about operating like Jesus, that's what we mean. Okay, the Word will become a priority, the center, pervades all our thoughts, focuses, desires, actions. Let me continue here. John 15:8. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove that you are be my disciples." So you see, the idea, people say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Well, if you are a disciple of Jesus, that means that you're applying the same principle that he operated. Just because you are a Christian doesn't make you a disciple. You have to have the same priority that Jesus had and walk by faith the way he did. Because that's what it means. And not many do. Okay. The thing is, what does do is that glorifies the Father. What do you mean you're glorifying the Father? How do you glorify somebody? Well, that's an important question. Okay. When you glorify somebody, give glory to the person, you just tell the great things that they did. You say, "Oh, you did such a great job in that thing. You really, blessed me so much. You did the audience." Yeah, so that can be a person. But you do the same thing with God. When you glorify God is when you start saying what God does, has done, and will do for you even before he did it. So when you glorify God, when you believe the Word before that you have the manifestation. That's what Jesus did. He said a lot of things. He was also, manifesting it. Okay? But before manifesting it, he would say it. He would say, "I only do what my Father doing. Yeah, raise up and walk. Get healed." He wasn't there begging the Father about, "Please, do something, heal this person." He never said that, ever. The only time when he came close to that, he did it just to help the people, so that they may understand that you always hear me. "Lazarus, come up." Otherwise, that's the only place. See, he was giving God the glory by everything, every action, everything that he said, because he was saying what the Father was doing in us and the way he functioned and the way he operates in us and operated in him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, when we glorify God, okay, what happens is that as we glorify the Father, okay, but if my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove that you are my disciples. So you bear much fruit when you start glorifying the Father. You bear much fruit when you start saying all the things that God does. So we should start talking about what God has done for us and what God does for us and what God wants to do for us even before we get it, because we glorify the Father and we are going to bear much fruit. So we have to start giving him glory. What means simply acknowledging what he promised. If he said, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, we just give him glory because by Jesus' stripes we were healed and we believe it. More than we can ever believe other things. If we believe that, we are new creation in Christ Jesus, we don't go around and say, I'm just a dirty sinner. Hello? We don't go around, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, I am a new creation. All things are good inside me. And we start to confess. We start to acknowledge. We start to glorify God by the things that he has done and the things that he's going to do and the things he does all the time. Because we live in that dimension and we start expressing that and we start experiencing that. Because we are not going to experience it unless we start believing it and we start confessing it and we start acting like it. Are you following me? I just, I was hoping to start, going into the prayer that Jesus did for himself, but I don't think we are going to be able to get there. But that's the beginning, you see? What we are talking about is how to move out of the bondage to the world and to the physical. And to get into the spiritual dimension, there should be natural for us as we are born again, because that's what Jesus said in John chapter 3, okay? That unless you're born again, you cannot see it. But when you're born again, you are entering, you can enter the kingdom, and the more you enter inside, the more experience you have, and the more you are going to live there. And that's the thing, walking the way Jesus walked, help us or shows us how to actually move into the kingdom so that the kingdom is right in our midst. Is it helping you? Are you grasping what I'm saying? See, what we are talking about is to just change our attitude, our mentality, our way of looking at things, and start to look at things the way Jesus looked at things. I mean, Jesus was saying, I am the Son of God. Okay, on what basis? What basis did he have about saying some of the things that he was saying? The scripture. Completely the scripture. He believed the scriptures. He had faith on what God has said. And he was saying what God said about him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, somebody look at you and say, you are crazy. Well, if we start walking like him, in a way, we should be his representative. And so today, we should be his body. And if we are his body, we can say, should say the same thing. Because You know, the same idea, the same thought, the same thing is coming out, should be coming from us. We should start saying what God says about us instead of talking what everybody says about us. That means we have to start changing the way we think about ourselves. We should start thinking the way Jesus thought about himself. We are quiet. That's really what makes the difference between succeeding and failing. It's not because of us. We are nothing. See, we can do nothing in ourselves. But the life in us is the life of God. Do you believe that you have the life of God inside? Well, the life of God is better to do something because it's not wasting his time there. Okay? But we have to at least agree with what the life says. Otherwise, we cut it off, we block it, we don't allow it to manifest itself because we don't line up ourselves in our thinking with what the life says, expects, wants from us, which is produce much fruit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, time is it. So, I haven't got into the final instruction, but that you want to go to the place in which, you know, we understand, okay, the major thrust, the major direction. Okay. Let's put it that way. The proof of discipleship, the proof that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, is that Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, manifest in ourselves. Say that we are successful in everything we do, that we are, you know, victorious, that we are like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that we are, you know, are successful in everything we do, basically. Okay? Because why? God cannot lose. If we are connected with God, God wants to manifest himself. I mean, Jesus never lost, except when he submitted himself to lose for us in our place so that he will take our problem on himself so that we will not take anymore. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? For us. Okay. Now, let me continue here because this is so important. John 15:9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, you know, this love business is so important because it pervades everywhere, but this the love is not what we intend for love. The word there is agape, which is not what we generally mean for love. For love, loving is somebody that we like, somebody that we want, somebody that, you know, I mean, the love of the Father was the same thing that made him, Jesus, I mean, God loves the, you know, Jesus was loved by the Father. Or the Father loved Jesus. Okay. The Father loved Jesus and he gave Jesus to die for us. Nobody would call that love. God loves us too. Okay, that's why he gave Jesus for us. Jesus loves us too. That's why he died for us. So, you know, that doesn't line up with the judgment of love that we have today. Okay. So really, the love of which is agape, it involves a commitment, a valuing or caring or, you know, something that we value greatly. Okay, so the love of the Father, okay, for Jesus and for us is the thing we had to relate to understand what he's talking about here. Jesus loved the Father, and that's why he obeyed him, even to the point of death. Okay. As we love Jesus and the Father so that we follow him, even if sometime maybe we get rejected and opposed, and, you know, there are many that suffer for that. Because the love that they have for him is greater than the love they have for other things. So it's a question of values here. What we care for, what we value more. Okay. And he said, if you, verse 15:10, okay, if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I kept the Father's commandment and abide in his love. That's really, you know, an important thing to do. And to really close that up, says, these things I've spoken to you, that your joy may be full, may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So the way that we can have joy, that joy and that type of love that God talks about are connected together. To experience the joy that God wants us to have, which is bigger than all the other joys that we can ever get. That is joy that nobody can take from us. Okay, is by loving the way God loves and Jesus loved. And then to close with that, it says, and this is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. So that closes up the old story, if you want. If you want to start experiencing the supernatural power of God, we had to go to the Word and really go, receive the power, the connection, to have a connection with the Father, have a connection with Jesus, being the branch of this divine that is connected to the power of God, with the life of God inside. And that life of God is really manifested in love. Okay, that's one of the aspects that is going to be ruled. That is the key concept that is all the commandment boils down to love one another. You know, the two commandments that are important that Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor. So those things is the things that we had to learn to function by. All the other are going to be lined up with it. All the those two commandments covers all the law and the prophets. And as we do that, then we are going to have joy. And we are going to be connected with his life. And the life of God is going to operate in us. And the life of God is going to manifest supernatural power. And the life of God is going to bring, you know, make all the things that we need satisfied and provided. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now we can see that in Jesus' manifestation, in Jesus' life, in Jesus' ministry. And I was hoping to begin John chapter 17, but we are going to do that next week. Okay. John 17 is Jesus' prayer, the last prayer, the best prayer that you can find anywhere in the Bible. Because it's the prayer that Jesus prayed with the anointing that he had. And if you can expect somebody to get answers to his prayer, that was Jesus. Okay. And that prayer is divided, and I'm going to give you an advance here today. It's divided in two parts. From verse 1 to verse 8, Jesus prayed about himself. And that's really good for us to understand the way we should pray for ourselves. And then from verse 9 to verse 26, Jesus made a prophetic prayer about us, what he has provided for us, what we should expect for us. And Jesus' prayer has been answered already. You know, if there is any prayer is going to be answered, that's Jesus' prayer, wouldn't you say? So his prayer has been answered. I mean, we may not see the manifestation, but his prayer has been answered. Because we have a part to receive. Okay? Like everything else, like Jesus too, had a part to receive. The things, you know, he wasn't resurrected before he was resurrected, before he went to the cross. So he had to go through the things that he went through. And we had to go through the things to get to the place to receive because of the things that we follow up and we believe and we acknowledge and we confess and we act on. So we are going to see the next week how Jesus prayed for himself and see how where we go from there. Maybe we can start to see how he prayed for us too. Okay, did you get anything today? Okay, what we are talking about is just a way of breaking out of the mold of mentality and the thinking way of the world as, which was the natural thing for us to have, and start thinking and acting and believing and manifesting the way Jesus did. To start the kingdom of God is in our midst. It's us, it's for us, it's available to us, especially today we are born again believers. We should be already into the kingdom and we should be experiencing more and more of the kingdom of God. If believers don't experience the supernatural kingdom of God, they're wasting their void, their life. They don't know what they got. And because they don't know what they got, if you don't know that you have something, what was recently, there was a ticket of the lottery that was 14 million, so something like that. And yesterday, I think that expired. Somebody evidently had the ticket, they didn't even know it. The fact that they had the ticket didn't make any difference. 14 million went off, and they have nothing like they had before. Are you following me? We have much better than that ticket. So let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that our eyes may be open, our mind may be catching up to what you made available to us. Lord, that what Jesus did is our example, that we may grasp onto that example, Lord, and start living the way that we're supposed to live. To start understanding how that life is operating in us to enable us to do things far beyond anything that we can think or dream. Lord, that all things are possible to them that believe. Lord, that we may start believing that. Instead of start believing the circumstances we are in, the feeling we have, the thought that we had in the past, Lord, that we may stretch ourselves and our imagination to see that the word of truth is true. And that your life is inside us, the life of God, empowering us to walk in the supernatural and to experience, Lord, victory in everything we do, that we may refuse to follow the world and may embrace the life of God which is inside us already. We just thank you and praise you for your grace that is beyond anything that we can ever think. And ask you, Lord, that you help us to, Lord, take this step of faith in believing you for the impossible, because all things are possible for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.